Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Really good. It's spring.
Spring is wonderful, isn't it?
It is. you know, all winter you can kind of forget how glorious the spring is. And then here it is. And then you remember.
Cool. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Speaking of good weather, this summer, join Sangha on retreat at the beautiful Vallombrosa Center in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. This retreat, from July 18th to July 23rd, will offer meditation, group sessions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and good vegetarian food, all in the supportive, privileged environment. Spots are limited, so sign up right away.
It's worse than that, Michael. It's already full.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised when I saw the announcement come through.
Yeah, I wish we'd let you know. we have a lovely group established.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And registration is still open for some of our most popular offerings, reflective listening buddies, keeping commitments buddies, and yoga for Sangha. These offerings begin a new quarter on April 15th. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight, if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. Okay, I think we're all set, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom from Arizona.
Hey, Tom.
The language might be a little messy, because I'm a little bit identified, so you can help me out. But the ego that identifies me has been having a relationship with the ego that identifies my partner.
Ooh.
And it's not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, you know, it's an incredible workshop, but it does end up in a lot of, you know, at times it feels like a knife fight between the two egos, and everybody feels bad afterwards, and it's unpleasant, and it's not where I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the best I can do right now is, or the only thing that's, I don't even know if it's working, is because from that identified spot, I don't have any answers that are satisfying to my ego, or the ego I'm identified with, my partner's ego. And so when I just kind of step away and go, I have no idea what's going on or what to do, that seems equally unsatisfying to all involved.
Mm-hmm. Tom, does it seem like, from your perspective, do you start this? Does your partner start this? Do you both participate? I get it that you both participate, but who starts it?
My identified self definitely says them.
Uh-huh.
But I think if I had a more conscious workshop, we're probably equal opportunity. Yeah.
And have you observed any particular times that this happens or kind of triggers that both of you are able to fall into?
Well, definitely when I always recognize when there's fault finding, you know, criticism, and that leads
by either one of you.
Yes. But,
yeah, either one of you's level to start the. Well, you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just spirals from there.
Right. It's amazing how quickly that can happen, huh? And so does it feel like you're both equally aware that this is going on and equally unhappy with it?
No question about that. Yeah. Nobody
okay,
feels
so
good.
you both know it's going on, and you feel kind of equally stuck in what do we do now?
Yeah.
And so when one of these incidents happens, do you both kind of come to? Does one of you tend to come to before the other one, or how do you get out of it?
Well, you know, the only kind of strategy I can find out is at some point, I don't even know where it's coming from. It's like, okay, this is not fun. This is a knife fight. I don't want to be involved, and I just withdraw. Because from that point, haven't figured out like, oh, okay, here's how we fix this right now, so mm-hmm. we're okay. So for me, it's withdrawal.
Uh-huh. And is that well received by your partner, or does that feel like, wait a minute, we're in a knife fight, and you're just going to walk off and
not fight anymore? Yeah.
And not fight anymore, and so that's
right.
Considered a hostile act.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, this is all very familiar. So do you think the two of you would be agreeable to work on it together? So, here's what I'm thinking.
Sure.
There's a process that can be illuminating where so let me ask you one more question. Does this often happen in the kitchen, in the car, in the bedroom, in the where do you tend to carry out these fights?
I would say there's a ton of it when we are trying to manage the kids and the household and the food. So yes, kitchen is where we spend a ton of time.
Yeah, kitchen is a big one. Yeah. Okay. So one thing that can be really interesting, and you have to commit, both of you have to commit to being real grown-ups in this, okay?
Okay.
And that is that you just put a recorder in the corner of the kitchen and then go on about your lives. Now, you know, at bedtime, if there was no fight, well, that's great. You just, you know, turn it off and erase it or whatever it is. But if there was a fight, then you agree that you're going to listen to it without and withhold any comments. You're just going to listen to the recording and hear what you hear about yourself in that situation.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it often isn't the way we think it is, right? Our version of reality is often doesn't turn out to be even what we thought, right? Certainly it's not what anybody else thinks, but it's not even what we think. Because we're caught up in a situation, we don't realize exactly the language that we're using, you know, our choice of words or our tone of voice or that sort of thing. And so trying to hear myself the way someone else might hear me, not just going to my experience as I might have been saying those things, because the odds are good I was not there. right? As you said, it's your ego identification, your partner's ego identification. Neither one of you is actually there for the encounter. So that would be one place that could be helpful. The other could be helpful. Another one that could be helpful is after it's all over and you calm down, after the emotion dies down, then to take turns with one of you talking about what your issue was, not what the other person did wrong, but what your issue was, and the partner simply reflects, draws out, clarifies, does the, you know, is the facilitator. And you can do that, both of you, in one evening, say, after if the kids go to bed or whatever. Or you could do one evening and the other evening. But it would be really important to be careful not to get pulled in again.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, to really commit to staying with the, no, I'm just going to tell you what I heard you say. Now, you don't want to fight about somebody's facilitation technique. So if that wasn't exactly the word that you used, you can do your best to be patient as they do their best to reflect you. And just see if you can start, you know, there's an image that we have in, I think it's When You're Falling Dive, where the two people are fighting over something. And the encouragement is to take that something and put it out on the table in front of you, then pull your chairs really close together, and the two of you together look at that problem.
Love it.
Does that hang together?
Yes.
So it's any of these techniques that would get you on the same side, kind of rooting for one another to be successful in getting to the other side of this, because as you well know, if one of you wins, you both win. If one of you loses, you both lose.
Right.
So it really is an us kind of situation.
Yeah. Oh, that's it's just what the doctor ordered. I just needed something concrete to kind of work through.
Yeah. To practice
cause
with.
Because right now it's just, you know, so much just starts spinning. And, you know, the messages from ego are so anti-helpful.
Yeah.
Anti, you know, championing us being good to each other or kind or so.
Super helpful. Yeah, and as we know, that ego in each one of you is really rooting for the relationship to be as miserable as possible for as long as possible and then end as badly as it could possibly end. That's
right.
What the ego is always going for, because that's going to be the most suffering. So if the two of you can commit to besting the ego, causing the ego failure, that would be a wonderful thing to do together, a project.
I love that. I love that. And it gives us more of an opportunity to have something other than the bickering and, you know, the ego interaction. So
Exactly. Because you're both good people.
Yeah.
And when ego gets hold of us, that's what we lose sight of. And it's just not who you are, and it's not what you want, and so it's just a matter of getting to the other side of it, putting all that to rest, and getting back to, because it is a back to. You can both remember when it was easy to be kind and loving toward one another, and that's still available.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Let me know. This is one of those
you
have to let me know, okay?
I absolutely will. And I'm doing the year long, and I'm loving it. I took a few years away from that, and I'm realizing it's really intelligent to be back. So
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. It just it sets sets the tone for our life.
Yeah, it truly does.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you
all
so
right.
much,
well,
Sherry.
Thank you.
And thank you, Michael.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Good night
it.
Now.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. And that was fabulous, Sherry. I just love the looking like as in a microscope, like how does it happen and where does it happen and when does it happen? And fascinating.
That's it. Scientists or detectives something that because when you say that, Michael, the point is, what you're pointing us to is it's a redirect of attention, right? When you go into that science or a scientist or detective, we're really redirecting the attention from just being caught up in the stories and, caught up and coming back to, well, now what is that? Well, now what did I just say? And is that what I'm...
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Vanessa in Corvallis.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Oh, say more.
Okay, well, I'm so excited just to be on the phone with you. I think I've called in a couple times.
There doesn't need to be more than this.
Okay. Yes. The backstory is I was raised in a family where my dad was always tense about all the things going on in the world, and it was very hard to be happy because there were other people suffering, and that was the message I got a lot, which I've dealt with. It's an ongoing workshop, and I have an ongoing workshop with my partner, my lovely husband of over 20 years, that is now very focused on things being very wrong in the world. And I agree that there are a lot of really horrible things in the world, but I find it very triggering, and I get very identified, and I feel very surprised by when it's brought up multiple times during the day, and I can't seem to find a way to communicate how hard it is to hear this kind of, like, even though I already know it, you know what I mean? I'm going to throw him under the bus. I'm going to say he's not receptive to me saying it feels very stressful to hear this while we're eating, or I'd rather not talk about this right now because it's very important to him.
And so we can guess from the way you started us out that this brings up a lot of
karma,
childhood, karma is the word I'm looking for. Yes, thank you. A lot of stuff, a lot of emotional stuff from before you were able to have any perspective.
Yes.
Right? And so there is that. And when you attempt to communicate to him how difficult this is it that he just doesn't listen to you? He hears you, but he doesn't take it in and respond from it, or does he actually have you should hear this, or you need to know this, or that kind of thing?
It's really, he knows that I know, and usually he's not presenting new information. I think it's just that he needs to vent it, and I am the only one. And I've kind of tried to, like, come up with other ways that he could vent it, but he wants me to be the one that hears it.
And so he, I'm going to project here, he wants you to help him with the emotion of it.
Yes, I think he wants me to be just as outraged.
Yeah, to support him in how he's feeling. And so if you don't want to hear it, then that feels like a rejection.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. And so, so let me ask you this. Do you feel like you could listen to him, a la Reflective Listening Buddies, you know, if it were not at the dinner table, or if there were some kind of parameters so that it didn't sort of get dumped on you?
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
You think he might be open to that?
I think he, we will see. I will conduct an experiment. But I think it feels so big to him that he has to say it right then, that it's very hard for him to, like, kind of parse it out and be like, you know, like scheduled worrying. He can't schedule it.
Right. Well, and so it might be, I mean, if he can understand how upsetting it is to you, which is the really important part, right? So it's really upsetting to him that he has all these feelings and he's just stuck with them, and he really wants somebody else to be there with him, feeling these same things, and that I imagine, whether he's conscious of it or not, it helps on two levels, right? It gets some of the energy out.
Yes.
And gets it out in a place that it feels like he's all right. He's accepted. He's validated for being somebody who cares about this in this way. So he feels taken care of in that. You, of course, do not.
Right.
And it, so where you need to feel cared for is not to have to deal with that emotion, especially at dinner. So it might be helpful, if this doesn't give you an upset stomach, to go for a walk or sit down and have a libation and talk about it before dinner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and make that agreement with him that we'll sit down together, we'll talk about everything, and then you know, catch up on our day and everything that, you know, you don't have to say everything you're upset about. And then we'll have dinner, and we can just have dinner. We don't have to have the whole messed up world having dinner with us. You know, we can, for that period of time, we can set that aside and in all selfishness just enjoy our meal.
Yes. Yes.
And just see if that works for him. And if it does, then that might be, you know, you might have to negotiate some other times as well. But to reinforce for him that it's really upsetting to you to have to think about these things all the time, that you do want to be sensitive to it, and you do want to participate and in, you know, helping the world be the way you think it should be and he thinks it should be. But you also need breaks from that for your own emotional well-being.
Yes.
And if he can understand that, then now you two can negotiate, because it's really the same issue. It's the same process for both of you. It just needs a very different resolution for each one of you, and that would be the part that you could support one another in.
Yeah.
You help him have what he needs, he helps you have what he needs.
Yeah.
What you need. Yeah, however many. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
That's a way to get to love.
Yeah. All right.
And you will let me know.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I like to know how things are going. And especially because, and this is for Tom too, that, you know, we talk about these things, and then oftentimes there's a next step, you know, because we do an experiment, we find out what happened, and we might want to fine-tune it a little. And we just don't want ego to get in there in any way, shape, or form. Even if it's, you know, not as bad as it was, or we're going for as good as it can be.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
Happy spring.
Right. Go happy. Happy spring, yes.
Oh. Yes. Oh. Mm. All right. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. And Sherry, we are going to break here for Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, your guest is now live on the air, and I'll turn it over to you for a Good News Update.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Karen, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with practice principles in everyday life. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us. What a fun topic.
I know. It's... You know, we've practice principles have been around for a long time, and they began dropping in for me in my life in a little bit of a different way, in that they can kind of apply to any content. They can be a little bit more specific to things that arise. So I have a funny one to start out and sort of give an example. This is a newer practice and principle, and it came out of going on a nature hike and not seeing or reading the signs. And so the practice principle is notice and read the signs. And because they take care of me. So it's just a small thing, but it can also extend to read the whole email. Like, it's just, you know, and in it is sort of this, you slow down. You can take your time with this. And so it can keep me from going down the wrong path and literally.
And, yeah, I'm just going to say literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So that's an example of one.
And Karen, just quickly on that, because, I mean, you're just such a brilliant start to the topic, because what that reminds me of is something I think Sherry used to say, her teacher said, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing with both hands. And that's what you're describing, that you're bringing full attention to whatever it is. Reading the sign, read it fully, reading the email, read it fully.
Yeah.
And be really here for it. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, and one I've really been enjoying lately, and it kind of pertains to what was just talked about, is around politics. Mm-hmm. And this one came out of going to some protests and making signs that didn't feel good and not... Mm-hmm. You know, like just kind of signs that were against everything and, you know, and realizing sort of looking at what's the principle here for me? Like, what do I want to express? And the principle for politics was what do I want to stand for here and now? How do I want to show up? You know, and that sort of in that goes how, you know, what do I want to see in the world, be the change, all of that. But it provided a way for me to be engaged with what's going on, but not go to all the places that, especially in groups of people, like getting together with friends, there always seems like we have to do a review of what's wrong, you know, like that. And, you know, like, and the more people talk, you know, you can just watch the energy go into this anger. I mean, it can go all over the place. It can go to hatred. It can get ugly really quick. And yesterday I was with a group of people and a small group, and out in front of her house, she had, you know, people put those big flags out And she had a rainbow flag, and then she had a great big flag that said world peace. And I just commented, just, I love your flag because it's what you want. It's not against anything. It's just, it doesn't matter what, you know, we don't need to be against anything. We can just put out there what we want and be that. And I love that. That ended a lot of suffering for me around politics, around how I show up in politics.
Yeah. Boy, and I can really see in what you're saying, Karen, how there's so many practice principles in just at all. It's sort of, well, as you said, in our daily lives as we go around. You know, the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. You walk into a room and everyone starts to review what's wrong. The attention just gets sucked in there. And then you have that realization, wait a minute, you know, what I can put on my sign is what I want for the world. I can be the change that I want to see. I can be what I want.
Yeah.
I can practice. Yeah.
And, you know, I think for the next protest, I'm gonna use our license plate cover. Inner peace, world peace. I think that's so perfect.
Yeah,
and
truly.
We were talking about that. And my neighbor said, "Oh, I'm gonna borrow that too." I think that's, you know, it's just, so it just can take things. It, instead of an energy suck, it can be an energy builder. And so anyway, and that's just one. I'm sure there's so much more to say about that, and I have so many here, and I know I will only get to a few of them, but
some more. We've got a few more minutes at least.
Yeah, well, one of the ones, and this is directly from practice, is that I don't need to know anything more than the next step, and that just saves me from suffering, from overwhelm, from getting too far out there, you know, like when there's an issue. And I can give an example of that that also speaks to another practice principle, is that I had a new roof put on my garage, and since that happened, all these black widow spiders, I don't know where they were all before, but they're all of a sudden up in the rafters. And they have these great big webs with all this stuff falling out, and it falls out on the car. And so what, you know, like what to do about that? Number one, I don't love walking under these nests that are really high up. And I just thought, well, okay, the first step is I just recognize they're there, and I'm just going to wait for the next step to drop in. And so I have one of those big, tall webbers, but not high enough to reach. But I have a really long pole that I can put the webber on that I use to wash high windows or in another house at another time. That would reach up there. And so today I began the process of just taking down one web. And I'll make myself, you know, I'll make my way around. But I won't harm the spiders. I won't harm me. You know, I've lived here a long time. That I've never had a black widow spider remotely try to bite me or anything. I mean, they just want to live their lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they're very shy.
Yeah, they're very shy. And really, most of them, I probably don't know how many are in, I don't want to know how many are in there, but just these few that are sort of impacting where I walk and everything, you know, I can just gently encourage them, you know, anyway, encourage them to move on. And that's the next step. And that can be applied to everything.
I mean, talk about inner peace, world peace.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. And
what facilitated that, Karen? Sorry, just briefly, what facilitated that was that you took that pause. Okay, I don't know, which is a huge practice principle. And I don't have to, I'll wait for the information, and there it arrives.
Yeah.
So today.
Well, or it can be the practice principle is, I'm just going to sit with this. I mean, how yeah. often do we all say that?
Yeah.
And it just applies across the board, it seems, in my life, because a lot of times I run up against things I don't know, and I don't have to know. I only need to know the next step, and I can just sit with it. So, okay, here's one that I, this is one of the practice principles, is that caring for my own health and well-being cares for everyone in the community, maybe the whole world, but, the way I came to this is masking when I go to stores or I'm indoors where there's a lot of people, that kind of thing. I wear a mask. And oftentimes I feel like I'm the only one there. And I just need to know in my own heart why I'm doing it. Nobody gives me a hard time, you know, or says anything to me, but I just can feel kind of... you know, like I notice, like, oh, I'm the only one here doing this. And, but then I realized that wearing a mask cares for me. It cares for everybody that I might encounter, that in turn cares for the community, you know, and then it can extend into eating outside if I go out to dinner, you know, finding a place that has an outdoor seating, washing my hands when I've been out at the grocery store or whatever, all those kind of things. But it isn't just care for me, it cares for everyone. And so it's just looking at sort of the, what am I attempting to do here? That's how I came to these different ones, these different, you know, and I mean, they've been around for years, but they are just, I have some practice principles around cooking and eating.
Sorry to interrupt, Karen. I was just saying, it's such a beautiful way to live, that process that you're describing. It's just because we're so supported in that. You know, the voices are constantly angling to get our attention and to pull us into suffering. Yeah. You've said in a number of times in a number of ways that it relieves your suffering when you live life from this place. There's always a practice principle that's there to support us. And it's just, I really appreciate you being with us today to talk about just reminding us that that's possible, to have that orientation, to walk around with those principles.
Well, and it brings clarity. Like, it brings clarity to me. I'm not following rules. I'm not trying to be good. I'm not, you know, trying to do it right. I'm just really looking at sort of on a deeper level for me of what exactly am I doing here? Like,
Back to center. You're getting back here. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. You're going to have to tell me time. I don't know.
I think it probably is time to hand it back to Sherry and Michael. I mean, we could go on for the rest of the show, I feel certain. Yeah. And it's one of those, we should have an entire show about it because it is so fun. But I really appreciate you bringing that topic today, Karen, because there's so much to see and it kind of reinvigorates it for all of us.
Yeah. Fun to share, too. Thank you. Guess so.
All right. Guess so. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Karen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that was fun.
It really was. I loved it. I loved it exceedingly. It's attempting to find that place that's most compassionate for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just thinking when, or had an image when Karen was talking about wearing a mask in these places and thinking, what would it be like if we all did that? If everybody did that? Just when we're in crowds or when we're in in stores and that sort of thing. What if we all did that? I suspect it would be kind of along the lines of what happened for the planet during the pandemic, where we weren't doing what we were doing, and suddenly the planet just breathed this great big sigh, right, and started writing itself in a really short period of time. So that, just that, the orientation that Karen was describing, that sensitivity to something bigger than me, that is us.
Mm. Yeah, bigger than me and includes me.
Includes me, because it's us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one is excluded. Yeah. And yes. And so with the politics, I thought that was also really helpful to consider, that the focus on something wrong, to see what a focus on something wrong does to my energy, right? So I don't want to focus on something wrong, because that doesn't make me feel good, doesn't make anybody around me feel good, doesn't help anything. And so what's the possibility then? Well, be the way I would like everything to be. And then if we were all focused on that, you know, we'd like, you know, kindness and compassion and caring, goodness and sensitivity and all of those kind of, well, what if we all were striving to live from that? What kind of a world could we create? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good. And we have another caller here.
All right.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Barbara from Chicago.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Sherry. Oh, I'm here to end suffering.
Yes. And if ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering.
Yes, and all day it's been, the line is, you know, if I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something other than ending suffering.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not in awareness, I'm in resistance. All of, you know, just that.
Yeah.
Seeing that all day today, and what I spend time in is what I've dropped in this morning was disappointment. Is like where I even preemptively, you know.
yeah. When we're really well trained, we can be disappointed before anything happens that's disappointing.
Yeah, like is like. That's going to keep me from being disappointed.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite pieces of conditioned craziness. I'll just be disappointed. It's like I'll just be depressed.
Yeah.
And if I'm just always depressed, then I don't have to worry about getting depressed. Which, frighteningly enough, inside conditioned mind makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you don't try, Barbara, if you don't put yourself in wholeheartedly into whatever it is, well, you won't be disappointed. I mean, it is, that is true. You won't be disappointed about that. You'll just be disappointed.
Yeah, I'll be disappointed. Well, so,
period.
I've been struggling with staying in the queue, and even saying to myself, this happened last week, how much I really, you know, why would I not want to be in this opportunity of participating and speaking with you? I mean, why would I not? And then immediately I took myself out of the queue. It's like after hearing that, like that.
Well, I would venture to say a minute after that, you were taken out of the queue.
I was taken out of the queue.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same person, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. In fact, we can just see that so clearly. Somebody really wants to be having the experience, participating, being here, being part of everything, and then there's ego going, nope, not you, not now. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, like, I'm just going to wait. This is not how I want to live, but how I've lived a lot of my life is I'm just going to wait. Like, I'll take myself out of the queue until, like, I'm taking practice for granted. Then, you know, it's like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wait for the right moment.
Yeah.
And boy, I bet you are not alone in that. I bet however many people are listening in, they're going to be nodding their heads because that's the con that we fall for. Well, not right now, because this moment, this is scary. But there will be a moment when everything comes together and you'll be ready and it won't feel scary. And then you'll be able to, and of course, you know, if the ego has its way, that moment never comes.
Yeah, that moment never comes, and this is the practice for me. You know, this doing this, being here however I am, you know. And so if I never put myself in the queue, I never move beyond that, and that feels really true, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing that that I saw when you said that is I'll talk about me, and then you can just see if you relate to this, right? So if I have a voice in my head telling me how I am, and I believe that, then there's an assumption that it, well, number one, that it's true, and that other people can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, other people can't see that. You know, they don't see what the voice in my head is telling me. But that voice in my head is looking for proof constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just manufactures the proof that it needs, that what it's saying is true, and that's how people feel, and that's, And if we never take that step of putting ourselves out there, we never get to have a different experience. We never get to get any proof that people don't experience us that way, right?
Yeah. Just my own isolated experience of this person's life.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Right. And then if that's my only point of reference, if the only conversation I have about me is with a negative voice in my head, well, it's easy to conclude that, it's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Then we get to, you know, we get involved with something like practice and with Sangha, and suddenly we're getting a different vibe. You know, that stuff is not playing out the way ego says it will.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not being humiliated and rejected and criticized and all of those kinds of things. In fact, you know, people seem to like us.
Yeah, it's so unique of an experience, and I really trust that. I'm not, you know, and I don't know that I trust that in other places in life, but I know that here, I mean, that I'm safe to move through this, you know,
to be you.
Boulder. To be me.
Yeah, to be you.
Yeah.
And be seen as
be seen.
You.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Have that reflected.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
I just want to share something really cute and unrelated, maybe. I heard a little girl say it, but I don't know if she made it up, but when you're going to do something really big and your heart is beating really hard and you're afraid, but something you want to do, you can imagine that the pulse of your heart is inner applause. That's encouraging you, like, Barbara, go, Barbara, you can do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that fabulous. Inner applause.
Inner applause. Your heart is applauding you.
Yeah, your heart and your body is encouraging you.
Yeah, you go, and they're excited for you.
Excited.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
I love that. I'm trying to practice with that.
Yeah. Wow, that is wonderful. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Ah, All right. Well, that's a keeper.
Well, I know you often talk about reframing anxiety as excitement, and so I thought like that felt like the same. You know, this is you can actually imagine this as encouragement from that part of you that wants to do this thing. You know.
Yeah, because it's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just recognizing what is actually so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for that. And the little girl, whoever she is, wise little person.
On the internet.
Oh, wise little person on the internet. Well, that's good.
Little student.
Right.
She was wise. Thank you.
Say that
so
again?
She was wise, you know, little video of a girl sharing.
Uh-huh. That. Yeah. Yeah, whether she was put up to it or not, who cares? It's wisdom. We'll take it.
I'll take it. I was like, I like this. I'm in practice with this.
Yeah.
Inner
applause. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it.
Thank you,
Barbara.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And I will remember that one, Sherry.
That is a good one. That's going to be quoted a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Newark, Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
Hello. I'm glad to be here, although there was, or maybe still is, a little bit of slight anxiety about whether I'm going to be chosen to be live or not, but I know that it's good for me to be on to listen to the show and to make myself available to be live.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, we show up and we're available. That's wonderful phrasing. that's what we're doing. Yeah.
I guess fear is, sometimes very low-level fear is something I experience in different parts of my life, although I'm not controlled by it as much as I used to be. And I tell myself or ask, well, what is there to be afraid of? And there really is no good answer. One answer might be that somebody else doesn't like me or ridicules me or something, but that kind of thinking is, I'm trying to get away from it. I think I am getting away from
it. Yeah. Well, and if I followed you right there, Jamie, so to stop and say, well, what is there to be afraid of? And then the answers that come back are, well, yeah, I suppose so. But what you know is, yeah, but I don't want that to control my life, right?
That's coming from ego.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very good.
So I'm seeing that I'm switching or moving to a perspective of just being open to having interactions with other people, but my love, if I have unconditional love, then how they react doesn't matter. Some people, I'm letting go of the idea that their reaction to me is important.
Yes, and something that I can control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's just like with a lot of stuff in the world. Yeah, I'll start to think that this person, politics is one place where this person should be doing this or this person should be doing that or they're wrong. But I don't know why they are the way they are.
Right.
There are reasons. And
Yeah.
I don't – to return to unconditional love, at least as a goal, has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
And
I think everything will work itself out in the long run. It might take, I don't know how long, but for some reason, I just think that in the end, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to work out well.
If it hasn't worked out, it must not be the end, right?
Yeah, right. If there isn't one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is self-destructive. That's why I think that.
Say that again, Jamie.
Hate is self-destructive, and love isn't. So
Yeah. And excuse me. It is so. It's we are in this country, and I suppose in other countries, we're just not used to it the way we are having such a very big dose of it right now. But so somebody can be doing something, and I really want it to be different. Now, I don't know that my version of reality is correct, but I just know that I want it to be this way instead of that way, right? So if I want everyone to be accepted as they are. That's something I want. Now, there are a lot of other people, apparently, who don't feel that way, and that's okay. I don't have to not accept them because they are not accepting, right? And at the same time, I can put my energy into the way I want it to be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting mad at them or even hating them is not going to make anything any better.
Exactly. And yet, if I see that they are doing something that is hurtful or harmful to somebody else, I can certainly do everything I can to assist that person who is being harmed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a... Karen referred to it earlier, you know, in going to the protests and putting out into the world, in that case, what she wants, right? She wants love and kindness, inner peace and world peace. That's what she wants. So she gets to go there and say, this is what I want. Now, other people who don't want that, they get to go and say what it is that they want. And we just see, since this particular country is meant to be a democracy, then whoever has the most people on their side, they get to be in charge, at least for a while.
Right. And so are you saying that there's a difference between being for peace and getting angry at somebody we perceive to be unpeaceful?
Yeah. Don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there. It's worth looking at.
Yeah, it's huge, right? Because if I'm for peace and I perceive you as being hateful, then I wanna be peaceful in our relationship. Right? Because that's what I want. it goes back to that I can't control what other people think of me.
Exactly.
Well, I can't control anything about other people. The best I can do is be what's important to me. That's what I can bring to the group. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's part of that represents part of what Sangha, living in compassion, what it's the direction it's leading me in.
Yeah,
represented by.
Yeah.
Those stink thoughts.
Yeah. That you look to you. What is it that you want? What does your heart? What's the deepest desire of your heart? And then we support one another in living that.
And letting other people go to be what they're going to be,
and love them to the best of our ability.
And. If we work our programs, we're increasing the chance that we're affecting the world just by doing that.
Exactly.
Right.
But and that's such an important point, because if I am fighting people, I'm going to fight people to make them be peaceful.
Exactly.
You know, even the sentence doesn't hang together. You know, that's just never going to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a friend at work a lot. I know it's probably time to go, but he would say, jokingly, they're going to continue to flog us until morale improves.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Beat you into being happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got from where I started to here, but it seemed like a good discussion.
Yeah, it was a fun journey. I don't know how we did either, but that's all right. It was a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Jamie.
Yes, go happy.
Gotcha. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jamie. And Sherry, it's the top of the hour, and it was another fabulous conversation.
I know. Another good time. Just another good time with Sangha and practice.
Mm, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's all we ask. It's all we ever ask. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah, thanks to everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.